We talk about carbon in the atmosphere a lot here on the program. There's too much of it, and it is changing the planet. And many of our discussions end up including trees as ways to capture carbon in the atmosphere and store it. But forestry is not the only practice that can store carbon in the earth. Agriculture can play a part, too. The California Healthy Soils Initiative aims to improve the condition of soil for farming and the quality of the atmosphere. Let's learn more about it. Geetika Joshi is the senior environmental scientist at the California Healthy Soils Program and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Jeffrey. It's a pleasure to be here.
And am I pronouncing your name correctly?
You are. That's perfect.
Okay,
thank you.
Good. People are going to hear some terms they may not have heard before, like carbon farming. Can you give us an overview of what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you were mentioning earlier, agriculture is a really important way by which we can actually take carbon that's in the air and store it into our soils. So soils, believe it or not, they're made of, you know, these tiny particles of mineral and organic matter that are intermingled with each other. And that organic matter, when it's saved in a soil that's, you know, properly managed, it can stay there for long periods of time, decades to hundreds of years. And the origin of that organic matter is essentially coming from the carbon that plants take in as when they make their food. And then when they channel all that carbon into the soil, all the biology of the soil, it converts it into the stable form of carbon that soil can keep inside of it for decades. So essentially, if you think about it, it's kind of like a carbon sequestration going in from air to the soil. And carbon farming is essentially just really being thoughtful and thinking about all the different ways to manage the soil that helps maintain that carbon in the soil or adds on to it. And so there are many different things that folks do on their farms to achieve that. They can add carbon to the soil through things like compost, or not disturbing the soil too much also maintains the carbon in there, so they reduce their tilling in the soil. They can also put mulch on top to kind of prevent the loss of that carbon. Lots of different ways by which agriculture can contribute towards storing carbon in soils.
Geetika, is it a win-win? I mean, is what's better for the soil also better for carbon sequestration? So can you get better crop yields and less carbon in the air at the same time?
Absolutely. So adding organic matter in the soil actually really enhances some of the quality of different qualities and properties of soil that are really important in maintaining the health of plants that grow on the soil. So organic matter, it acts like a sponge. It has the capacity to soak water. It can retain that water, make it slowly available to plant roots. You know, in a state like California, where we are struggling with drought and we have to be very thoughtful of our water usage, building this type of water holding capacity can be a really important benefit in addition to storing that carbon in the soil. Also, just a soil that is rich in carbon is teeming with lots of beneficial microorganisms that do all kinds of wonderful things to promote plant health, which can then eventually result in better yields.
So it seems like it's a pretty obvious direction to turn. Talk about the creation of the Healthy Soils Program itself.
Sure. So the Healthy Soils Program, the conversations about this initiative started back in 2015. 2015 was declared as the International Year of the Soils by the United Nations. And our leadership here in California, Governor Jerry Brown and our CDFS Secretary Karen Gross, they were really interested and wanted to participate and have California be a leader in the nation in thinking about how to use our agricultural lands to store carbon. California agriculture is really diverse. We grow a lot of crops. There are a lot of acres covered, and there truly is a lot of potential. So over the years, steps have been taken at the legislative and policy level and trickling down to the scientific and technical level to essentially stand up an incentives program that is supported through funds that come in from California's cap and trade law. We have revenues that come in from our cap and trade law, and then those revenues are invested in different sectors, and one of them is agriculture, and our Healthy Soils program is an important part of that.
I was going to ask about that, if Healthy Soils is interconnected with other programs, and it is.
Yeah.
So the money actually that comes in from cap and trade helps the farmers or helps incentives for the farmers for the Healthy Soils program?
That's exactly right. So our California Department of Food and Agriculture, where I work, we have this program housed over there, and it's an incentives program. We have competitive grants that farmers can apply to. They also use some tools that are available online, which actually helps them calculate, if they were to implement a certain type of management practice on their farm, how much carbon reduction that generates. And so using that information, they put together an application package, and they can grant stuff up to $75,000 to implement these practices on their farms.
We're talking to Geetika Joshi, who's a senior environmental scientist at the Healthy Soils Program within the Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation in the California Department of Food and Agriculture. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about healthy soils. So good for the soil and good for the atmosphere by sequestering carbon. 800-838-3760. If you have questions or comments by phone, our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned some of the things already, adding carbon to the soil, reducing some tilling, keeping the soil covered, composting, adding carbon through composting. Are there other practices that are different from what goes on in standard farming? Very different from what goes on in standard farming?
There are different from what I currently described to you. So, one the ways that I was talking about was how to lock up that carbon in the soil. But remember, all that carbon is coming in from all that plant activity. So by putting in a plant cover on the soil is a way to kind of start pumping that carbon in and then doing all those other things to maintain it there. We have practices such as, we call them field borders. So, for example, there's part of the agricultural field where the crop is grown, but the border lanes might be empty and the soil there is exposed. So planting in herbs, shrubs, or trees in those parts of the field, it can kind of help provide a cover to that soil, but also add more carbon to the soil through the biological activity of those plants themselves. Not to mention, plants in their own bodies also lock up carbon. There are many, many different steps to that. Lots of practices that are incentivized through our programs also involve planting shrubs and tree cover in different parts of the farm as well.
You mentioned grants for farmers up to $75,000, and I just wonder, across a state as large as California, there are going to be some limits to how much you can provide. And I just wonder about the level of funding for healthy soils so far, and whether it's been able to address as many farmers as have wanted to participate, or if it falls far short of that.
That is such a great question. So we have had funding available now two times since the last couple of years. The first time, department received $7.5 million. And now this time around, the department has received $15 million, so double of what was allocated before to a program like this. Not only that, this year the funding comes from cap and trade, but also we have another legislative measure called Prop 68, it's a bond measure that is aimed toward natural resource conservation. So a couple of different ways that our policymakers are thinking about that healthy soils are important.
All right. So is the cap and trade money a steady stream, though, although a small one, it sounds like?
It is somewhat steady. However, we do have annual budget negotiations every year for the whole pot of cap and trade revenue that comes in. It's on a yearly basis that we get to know that there has been more monies allocated to the program.
All right. So let's talk about what the farmers get out of this and what the rest of the planet gets out of it too. You mentioned retention of water happens a lot in soils that are higher in carbon. What's the mechanism there, without getting entirely too chemically?
Sure. So organic matter essentially just has these chemical functional groups in it that have the property of being hygroscopic, which means that they can physically trap water molecules and keep them inside, kind of like a sponge. So that water then is not very easily lost from runoff. For instance, if a soil is too sandy and not held well together by organic matter, the water will just slide right off it. And in this case, it kind of stores like a sponge. Think of, those moss, those poles of moss that we sometimes use in our indoor plants, and how they kind of absorb the water and just keep it there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then the plant roots can kind of get at it when they need it. Something like that.
Okay. And so what do the farmers who have undertaken some of these practices notice in terms of things like that matter to them, like crop yields?
Yeah, so far, that's a really great question, and I would say it's a little too early to answer that because our program is in our very first year. We have just completed a little less than a year of folks starting to implement these practices. So there are mechanisms built in where, people will be reporting some of these information to us about what they are seeing on their farms. Though we are just not there yet, but in the next couple of years, we'll start seeing a lot of that information come in. And I do want to add that our Healthy Soils program has a piece called the demonstration projects. And the specific purpose of those projects is to partner with nonprofit organizations and university researchers, implement these practices and conduct outreach and field demonstration days to educate the public and fellow farmers about the benefits of these practices. So we're really fired up and looking forward to having many of these things come up within the next year or two and start giving us the kind of answers we need to answer your question.
Is there a lot of enthusiasm from the farmers? I mean, obviously they're getting some grant money for this, but the practice is fairly easy to implement?
So the interesting thing is that several of the practices that are incentivized through our program have been considered as important in the field of natural resource conservation by the USDA as well. And USDA used to have and still has an incentive program that supports some of these practices that has been around for some time. So we made sure to name our practices the same so that we would be using terminology that would be familiar to folks so that, you know, they know instantly what it is, and that helps with kind of bringing them along and keeping that enthusiasm, as you're saying. But so far, we've seen great response to the program. We've covered so far a little under 9,000 acres on different types of practices through this program. That's a very small fraction of our total millions of acres of agricultural fields, but slow and steady, and the word definitely has been trickling,
okay,
and we keep
so,
getting queries.
So certainly a modest start to Healthy Soils, yeah. but some hopes there. I noticed that, Geetika, that there was a comment period that closed last month on the Healthy Soils program. What were you taking comments on?
Yeah, that was actually comments on, we have a grant solicitation document which contains all of the information that, you know, a grower would need to apply to the program, such as program requirements. So some of the comments were related to that. But another interesting piece that we've taken on since last year when the program was first implemented, we received lots of feedback from farmers, partners, interested organizations that we needed to expand the suite of practices that are incentivized by Healthy Soils. You know, we had, I think, about 10 or 12 practices, and there were several more that could potentially be incentivized. So we went through a year-long public process on, selecting those practices, evaluating them, working with, experts not only in our department but at USDA, at the California Air Resources Board, and trying to figure out which practices can go forward and have people comment on them. So that was part of it. So we're continuously trying to improve the program, broaden the horizons, just, provide a larger suite of activities.
Is the carbon sequestration just sort of a bonus? I mean, it sounds like these are things that are good for soil, good for farming anyway. And is it being touted in the way that it is, in part because of the fact that this is a concern we have right now in history about carbon?
Well, I would say that, yes, these practices are, some of them have been very well known, and they, of course, have benefits in natural resource conservation that have been identified for many decades now. The great thing is that now our science and our expertise in climate change science is at a point where we have the ability to actually calculate how much carbon we can actually reduce by doing these practices. And that makes for a really powerful and strong piece where we know that there are emissions of carbon through different agricultural activities, but look, here are all the different ways by which we can reduce those emissions and, move towards a carbon neutral future.
We talked about 9,000 acres under the Healthy Soils program so far, and $15 million available for it. I mean, if you wanted to do this on a broad scale, how much more money would it take?
Gosh, that's a really great question. I think it would all depend on, practices that are paid for by the program have a payment on a per acre basis. So we could pretty easily do some calculations depending on how many acres we're thinking about. And, it could take millions to billions of dollars. But another important component here with the Healthy Soils program has been, cost share that the farmers are bringing on their own as well. So while the state has provided some part and incentives, folks have been so excited and they have provided cost share sometimes almost in equal amounts for part of the project. And what we're really hoping is that with this initial activation created by these incentives provided by the state, you know, folks are able to see the benefits that they're getting, and these just kind of become part of the suite of things that they routinely do on their farm and bring in their own investment as well.
All right. Well, lots of people involved and invested in the Healthy Soils Program in California. We will be keeping an eye on it to see how it does down the road. Geetika Joshi is Senior Environmental Scientist in a supervisory position at the Healthy Soils Program at the Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation in the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Exchange.